All right, so since even before the first of the year, you all know the gospel has been on my heart, and we've just been going through different aspects of it, no particular order, but we have Easter coming up, so it all works really well. Yeah, his death, his resurrection, everything else. But today I want to, I'm going to keep along those lines, but I want to gear towards, you know, Easter Sunday a little bit. But in reading and praying, and John 1, that's where we're going to be, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. These first, I don't know, probably 18 verses in John 1, really, for me, just like give an amazing overview of the gospel. And it caught my attention, and it's not we're going to end up, but we're going to read a bunch of verses today because the word of God is good. But unless we know who our Savior is, what he's about, his heart towards us, it's really hard to walk this life out. It's hard to walk this life out even when we have that revelation and that knowledge. But without it, it's even worse. And I truly believe, and it's just on my heart, and I'm just gonna keep pounding it home, is that we gotta know who Jesus is. We gotta know who our Lord is. We gotta know who the Holy Spirit, we need to know who these people are. We've given our life to them, now what? We've given our life to them, we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? Now what? And for a long time, and it may be why, but I see a lot of people like this. Like, you get saved, and then what else? I don't feel any different. I don't look any different. Because it's not a physical change. It can be physical. There can be physical changes involved, but it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And then we grow in that spiritual relationship, right? That's why discipleship is so important. That's why digging into the word and having people you can go to ask questions and bounce ideas off of each other is so important, because we don't ever grow if we don't ever pursue it. Right? If I'm just sitting there doing nothing, I'll grow, but in the wrong ways. Right? And once again, it's never a have to. Man, God loves us so much. But it's never a have to. But the benefits far outweigh just sitting there and not growing in him. Than just sitting there and wishing and hoping and, oh, I just wish I could be like them. Oh, I just wish I could do this. Oh, I just wish I could do that. You can do those things. Christ revealed to me, I can do more than what you're watching on the TV right now. I can do more than that. I can give you a meaningful life, because that's what I was striving for, struggling for. There's got to be something meaningful here. There's got to be something more than just waking up, going to work, coming home, and going to bed. Yes, I was married at the time. Yes, I had kids at the time. But when your heart's not right, and when you're all messed up, those things don't seem to matter. It's sad. But it's a lie, right? That's just what the devil does. That's just who the devil, that's just one of his ways of getting us, is just, I was so self-absorbed. I was so me, me, me. How can I fix this? Why can't I fix this? How can I do this? And I just failed and I failed and I failed and I fell and I fell and I fell, and it just didn't matter who was around me. But thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I think this is so important. And what's in my heart for this church and for everyone in here is we're going to be sharing this. Not just me. Not just me. Each and every one of us is going to be sharing the good news of the gospel, because there's so many people out there that need it. Each and every one of us. So, consider this your prep time, right? We had that word a few weeks ago. Be prepared. Get prepared. This is our prep time. Take it seriously. Get in the word. Know what he's saying. Know what he's telling you, because when the time comes, it's going to be awesome. I truly believe it's just going to be awesome. But there's some prep time involved, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But even if you're not totally prepared, speak. Because, man, that's where the Holy Spirit does his thing. That's the exciting stuff. I don't know what to say, and then bang, there it is. But this is our prep time to really dig into who our God is, what he means to us, what the gospel is, what it means to us, because it's who we are. But if you don't know who you are, you don't know your benefits, you don't know what Jesus did for you, you don't know what the cross meant, you don't know what the resurrection meant or means, where do you go? I remember I got out of the military and I was going to go to college. And I missed the first year because I got out late. Next year, I'm ready to go. I got my GI Bill. I'm gonna be a student. And I went in and I had to test. And once again, you know, it followed me. I'm still terrible at math. I can't figure out why. You know, I thought 4 years in the Marine Corps would help me with math, but it didn't. Maybe studying would have helped me with math, but that didn't happen either. So, you know, I only had myself to blame, but I had to do remedial math. And I started remedial math, and I quit remedial math. Because I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea where this was going. Even when people sat down and tried to explain it to me, it was like, wah-wah, 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 wah-wah. I am so happy all my kids love math, and that blesses me to no end, because, man, it followed me for a long time in my life. But, and it's no different with us. If we don't know who we're serving, how can we possibly benefit from the relationship? Right? We got to know who Jesus is. We got to know what he's done, what he has for us, what he wants for us. He wants things for each and every one of us, and they're good things. Do we believe that we serve a God like that? That he looks at you, every one of us, man, I got a plan for you. Oh man, if you would just, you can get it, you can do it. Don't stop, right? I know he's encouraging us. I know he's encouraging me. Even in those hard times, keep pushing. Don't stop. Don't stop. The last couple days, man, there's been some things that have just irritated me to no end. Don't stop. Don't let that get in the way. Don't let that pull you down. You know, thank God for naps. They help me refocus. But don't stop this walk. Don't stop your pursuit of Christ, because he's there with us every step of the way, willing to share, willing to give that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. All right, John 1. And I've preached out of here bits and pieces, but I want to kind of go through these whole verses here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We established that before, that Jesus has always been and always will be. He was there. He's not something that was created for a moment. He's always been. He's always been. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. A part of everything, right? A part of everything. Everything was made through him. What I'm hoping here is that things get put into perspective. Jesus is God. That's who he is. That's who he is. There's no other explanation for it. Jesus is God. The Word reveals it. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So life and light. I believe that revelation of life and light comes through relationship with him, right? He is the light. He pulled us out of darkness into his glorious light. He is the life because through him is eternal life. That's who he is. That's what he provides for each and every one of us. That's what he wants for each and every one of us, not just in this room, this entire world. He desires all. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness will never overcome the light of Jesus Christ, ever. Darkness loses. I don't care how dark your life is at the moment, was, may be, through different circumstances, different challenges, light overcomes the dark. Always. 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 Go down to verse 9. The true light, I like that, the true light. There is no imitation. There is nothing that compares. Just like in John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine. Right? There are all those who try to imitate. There are those who try to convince you that they are the light. In them is where you'll find peace. In them is where you'll, no. He is the true light. He is the true vine. He is true life. The true light, which gives light to everyone, love it. Can't get very far sometimes. Which gives light to everyone. Everyone. He gives it. Whether we receive it is up to us. To everyone. That's why it's so important that we get these revelations so we can go speak to whoever that everyone is. So we can go share with whoever that everyone is. I don't know who it is in your life. But I bet you right now there's a name that popped into your head, or there's a group of people that popped into your head. I guarantee it. But it's for everyone. And I would be wrong to sit there and say, not for you. Look what you've done. Not for you. Look how you look. There's no qualifications here. His desire is for everyone. True light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. I think about that sometimes, because I think it's very interesting that the creator of all things walked amongst us, but nobody could pick him out physically, right? The Bible says he was just an average-looking guy. Nothing real, you know, over the top about him. And he lived an average life for the most part, right? He's a carpenter, grew up doing what kids grow up doing in that time, right? Lived your probably average Jewish life. But unbeknownst to so many people, it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But amazingly, now we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords residing in us through his Spirit. Right? It doesn't matter how we look. It matters what's in us and what we give. It didn't matter how Jesus looked, but it was what was in him. It was his words. It was the power that he carried. It was his authority that changed things. Not his looks. Because I bet you he stunk. When you're walking 20 miles a day, You sweat. Things get uncomfortable. You thirst, right? He was at the well. He was thirsty. He did all the things that we do, but yet he was God. I think it's pretty awesome. Something fun to meditate on. How many people? I don't know. Just something fun to think about. But he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And I think that's the bigger. All right, he came to his own. Those who should have known who he was through the word, right? The Old Testament was revealing Jesus, was showing Jesus, was preparing the world for Jesus. And through, I'm sure, a whole bunch of different things, greed, lust, ignorance, whatever, he was missed. The Lord of all, who created all, was rejected. And we can give the Jews a hard time, but in my state, I rejected him. I've rejected him in my life. So I really can't be too hard on him, because I did the same thing. Thankfully, through grace, right? Through grace, through the gospel, through Jesus, I've righted that ship. Thank God. I've righted that ship. He righted that ship. But we always got to be careful. Because so many times when it comes to the Pharisees and just all that, man, I've done it. I've turned people away from Christ. They did too. I've done it. I'm not proud of it. And I've already talked that over. But I pray there's opportunities to write that. I pray that my life now, I pray those people see my life now and something different. Something changes in their hearts. So I can't judge the Pharisees. I can't judge the Jews. Because if I'm totally honest with myself, I've probably done most of the things that they did that rejected Christ. But just something, another thing, right? That he came, the world didn't know who he was. Probably most of his people didn't know who he was. I know some of the Pharisees knew who he was, but they still rejected him because they didn't want to lose their seats. They didn't want to lose the prestige. Imagine, I'm just putting myself in his shoes. Imagine your creation, your people rejecting you. I mean, it's got to hurt. I'm sure he hurt. And we'll get here later, but he was rejected, but, and hang on to that. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, all who will receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is a spiritual transformation. It has nothing to do with your state, how you were born, when you were born, your position in life. It has everything to do with declaring Jesus Lord of Lords. Declaring that he died and rose and that he is the King of Kings. And believing in your heart, and you will be saved. It's a spiritual transformation. And I believe when that spiritual transformation happens and that spiritual growth begins, it'll change all other areas of our life. But we got to take that first step. People need to take that first step. They need to know what that first step is. But thank God I'm a child of God. I encourage myself with that all the time. Because there's days, and I have to build myself up. No, I'm a child of God. No, that was paid for. No, that's not who I am anymore. That's who I was, yep, I'll give you that, but that's not who I am anymore. You don't get to torment me with that anymore. And I fight knowing that I'm a child of God, right? Knowing who died for me, knowing what was given to me, I can fight, and that's how we all can fight. But to all, once again, verse 12, but to all who did receive and all who will receive. It's not an exclusive club. It's for everyone. The choice is up to us, though, right? It's our choice. It's our choice. Go down to 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side has made him known. And I beat this, I do. But Jesus, you see Jesus, you see God. Just one of the biggest revelations of my life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the express image. And he's revealing it again right here. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to wonder. We can know. We can know who our God is. And we know through the Word. We know through the Holy Spirit working in us. We don't have to, yes, questions come, of course. I'm not saying that there's not going to be questions, but we serve a God who answers them. Right? Difficulties are going to come, but we serve the God that gets us through, who is the light, who has overcome darkness. Darkness will never overcome the light, ever. That's the God we serve. And I think it's so important that we just roll these things over. Don't leave here today. I can't make anybody do anything, but don't leave here today and just stop. Well, next Sunday's 6 days away. Just see if I can get through till then. Keep going. Everything's getting posted again. You can get the audio online. Don't let this just be, because that's mistakes I've made. And don't let this be a one and done thing. Because this is the stuff that changes lives. This is the stuff that transforms our life. Therefore, we're able to transform other people's lives. This is the stuff that helps us grow. This is the stuff that helps us fight. Knowing who our God is, and knowing our God is that good. He's that good. I want to read these last few verses from 16, because verse 16 was a major revelation for me. For from his fullness we have all received. There is no end to what Christ possesses, what's available, right? I've talked about it, and I'm going to keep saying it. We have the Holy Spirit who searches the depths of God. There's no lack. There's no lack in Christ. There may be some lack in my understanding. There may be some lack in my will. But if I continue with him, we can fix that, right? We can fix that. That's why we don't get down if I don't know something. I just seek. Go to God. Don't get down if I mess up, because you know what? I still have Christ. I still have his fullness. Yep, I need to tweak this area of my life. Can't keep doing that. Can't keep saying that. Can't keep meditating on that. But we can do this kind of thing because we have relationship with him, all right? We have relationship with our God, or we can have relationship with our God. But that verse 16 has been huge for me in my life, and I want to read it in the Amplified real quick. It says, verse 16 out of the Amplified, "For out of his fullness," parentheses abundance, "we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and one spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." I like that visual. In Christ, in our spiritual walk with him, in our spiritual growth in him, there's nothing that's not available. I think sometimes it's, do I even want to go there? All right? What happens if I go there? How will my life change if I go there? I'm really okay with my life right now. How will my life change if I keep pursuing? Well, I can tell you it's worth it. Can't make decisions for you. I can hopefully encourage you and help you grow. But I can tell you, following Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit, will be the best things you ever do in your entire life. There's nothing the world has that compares to what Christ can give. Nothing. And I spoke to the young people, I think it was last week, I'll do it again. There's nothing the world has that compares to what Christ can do in your life. Nothing. I don't care how it's sold. I don't care how tempting it is. I don't care how good it looks, how good it sounds, whatever the case may be, there is nothing that compares to living a life with Jesus Christ. There's nothing that compares to being led by the Holy Spirit. Nothing. And I praise God for it. Amen. All right. So, you know, just establishing. I just want to continue to establish who Christ is, what he's done. And I think if you go back over these verses throughout the week, pick out those spots that speak to you. Dig into them a little more. But I truly believe that's a great summary of what the gospel is. But because we have Easter coming up, we're going to shift, well, it's still going to be gospel talk, but I want you to know Christ's attitude towards what was coming, right? The cross was coming. He knew it was coming. He told the disciples multiple times, right? I'm going to be killed. They didn't get it. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. They probably brushed him off. No, man. We're going to be reigning with you. No. Right? They couldn't quite grasp what was happening, what was being said. But Jesus' heart, the whole time, go over to Hebrews. So this, I want us to know our God's heart towards us. Hebrews chapter 12, just verse 1. So Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter. So if you ever want to be built up in your faith, it gives all these amazing moments throughout the word of faith. Build yourself up with that. That's just a little, you know, context. But I want us to know who our God is. I want us to know how much he loves us. Because it's the love of God, and I'll never stop talking about it, it's the love of God that changes everything. It's the love of God that changes everything. It is the foundation. Because Christ is our example, right? Christ is our example. So we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, this is Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us. So all those things, lay aside the weight, the sin that clings. But we can run in with endurance. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, right? Sin doesn't have to weigh us down to the point where we can't move. We're crawling, we're struggling. God help. Sin doesn't have to be that in our life because of what Christ did. Because of Christ and his strength, we can walk this out with endurance, right? It's because of him. It's because of what he did. It's because of who he is. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And here's the part I want to point out. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He knew what was coming. In fact, he sweat blood over what was coming. Sinless God, who knew no sin, was about to take on everything. Everything. Every twisted, perverted thing, every disease, every sickness, anything related to sin, he was about to take on. But yet it says here, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus looked past what he was about to go through, and I truly believe he just saw us. We were the joy that was set before him. We were the joy. It was the joy of getting back to relationship. It was the joy of getting back to how it was meant to be in the beginning, where we could walk and talk. No more separation. It was the joy of knowing the new covenant that he was bringing and everything it entailed for each and every one of us. If that doesn't lift your spirit, I don't know what does. He endured the cross. He endured something we'll never experience, something we don't ever want to experience. But he endured it all for us. For us. How much more could you love someone? How much more could you desire someone? And my point here today is he loves you. He desires relationship with you. He wants to show you how much better it can be with him. I don't care if your life is good. It can get better. If you're struggling, it can get better. If you're confused, it can get better. If you're hurt, it can get better. Whatever it is, because of Jesus and through Jesus is where you're going to find those solutions, is where you're going to find that love that's going to help you through, is where you're going to find that peace. All these things that we're searching in our life are available through him. It may not look like you want it to look. This walk that I've had for the past 7-8 years now has not worked out and has not looked the way I thought it was going to look. It's been hard, but it's also been fantastic. God has been with us every step of the way. When we thought we couldn't go any further, there he is. When I took a terrible job to go to school, drastically cut my wages. Me and Heather looked at each other, I don't know how we're going to do this. I just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. God provided for us every step of the way. Every need was met. Every bill was paid. My schooling was paid for. And this is just the goodness of God. This is for every one of us. Encourage yourself with it that it's for every one of us. That, yeah, it may seem tough, but with God, I can at least get through it, right? And then when I get through it, I've grown. I know my Lord better. I know he cares for me. And when that next thing comes, maybe it doesn't last as long because I know, right? We grow. We grow. We grow. We grow. Oh, no, I don't have to walk. I don't have to believe that. The word says this, right? I don't have to walk in anxiety. The word says what? Be anxious for nothing. It says it. It does. It's awesome. The word says a lot of things that people wouldn't believe. But it's true. It's truth. And it changes lives. So, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. In verse 3, consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. He is our example in everything. Right? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, was rejected by his people, not just the Jews. He was rejected by creation. Yet, he still went to the cross. Right? Yet, he could look through, he could look past the circumstances, he could look ahead and say, that's worth it. That's worth it. They're worth it. So as we go through this Easter season, and as it's coming up, we're a few weeks out, let's keep our eyes on him and who he is. He truly loves us. Truly, truly loves us. Truly wants the best for us. And I pray that that phrase, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, sticks. It sticks. Write it on a note card, put it on your fridge, put it on a mirror that you look at all the time. Do something, put it in your pocket. I don't know what, but let that stick. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Meditate on that. Run it through your mind. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you what that means to you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Yeah. Dear Father, I just thank you that you are so good. Regardless of what we understand, Father, you are good. And through you, that understanding can come, Lord. And I just pray that we are seeking understanding. We are seeking your love. We are seeking those things that are going to help us grow in you, in relationship with you. And Lord, I just thank you that it's all available. It's all available for each and every one of us, Father. I just pray as we go out this week, I just pray for your safety, for your hand to be on us, Holy Spirit to be leading and guiding us. And I continue to pray for opportunities to share your love, to share your goodness with others, to those around us, Lord. I just thank you for what you're doing at this church, and I thank you for what you're doing in each and everyone's heart here, Father. And we just give you all the glory and the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.